been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Ravens Nation, to The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Joining me, as always, we got my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
Brandon, man. What a win, man. It's good to come off a great win. How you doing, my friend?
It's been a good couple days. The Tennessee Titans came to town. We saw guys like Michael Orr come back to Baltimore. But the Ravens were able to come out with a win. Let's talk about this, though, before we even get into this game. Last week we recorded, like we are right now, during the day on Tuesday. Luckily enough, I had off last week, as you did, and I have off today, as you do. And we got to record a little bit earlier than usual. But with that, literally, like, I think an hour or two after we get done recording, the Ravens say, oh, hey, by the way, we've decided to release Dominique Franks and Shockey Brown. So let's just talk about that real quick. With this release, we talked about it last week on the show, how these guys really were not stepping up. They were not playing good football. And apparently we aren't the only ones who recognized it, because the Ravens were deciding, oh, hey, maybe it's a good idea to get rid of these guys as well. So with that loss of those two guys, And the bringing in new players and guy that has been a Raven before, Danny Goyer. What was your initial reaction last week before this game happened on Sunday about these certain guys leaving and then the Ravens bringing in these new players?
I love the shakeup, man. I mean, it shows the Ravens organization wasn't taking it lightly, that whether they heard the fans outcry or they heard both, and then they just said enough is enough. Secondary wasn't getting it done. And a 6-touchdown performance for the opposing team against a division rival as the Steelers, it wasn't taken lightly, and the Ravens said, okay, well, we're going to gut you guys, and they gutted the dead week, and I wasn't surprised at all. I just wish, like I said, it would have happened during our show so we could have had breaking news in there, but besides the point, we know how that panned out. But I look at it this way, you know, their services were great while they were here. They had some good, they had some bad, and they had some god-awful ugly, and it led to their release. Good luck to them on the next teams they land on, if they were to do so. Wish them the best. But right now, it's what's important now. It's called win. It's what's important now, and how they're playing, Brandon, and it just wasn't getting the job done. And speaking of that, the newest additions, they brought back Danny Goyer, and they also brought in Anthony Levine. And I'm telling you what I saw on Sunday, I was impressed with these guys. Levine was hitting. Levine was hitting out there on the field, and how about Goyer, man? He got the pick to seal the win, so to speak, against the Titans, and they held up pretty well. And I must say, speaking of the secondary, they were laying some wood, man. I know in the first quarter, it was a tale of like one quarter. It was like me sitting there, Brandon. I'm going to tell you how I was feeling, especially the fans around me. I mean, it was great to force the turnover on the goal line. That was great because they forced the defensive stop. We needed it. The offense sputtered. They couldn't get nothing going, so they gave them the ball back. And, of course, they went right back down the field again and scored. It was kind of like, really? And it was like 12 minutes to like 3 minutes or something like that for time possession. I'm like, if this keeps up, really? But it was like the Ravens said, okay, it was the tail of the first quarter. Enough is enough. And they went right back to work and scored 21 extra points and shut them out. And after the first quarter, they said, enough is enough. And how about Terrence Brooks, man, the rookie? Mm-hmm. Laying some wood, man. What a hit on Walker.
Yeah, that was a clean hit, but at the same time, yes, it scared the crap out of me because I thought I saw someone just die on TV.
Well, speaking of that, I don't know if you saw that. It actually, Delanie Walker's Wikipedia page was updated to that he ended up dead on the field against the Baltimore Ravens.
Oh, my gosh.
I read it. It's on Facebook, and it was, I literally legitimately searched it. It's someone fixed that. It was coming towards me, the play, and I saw it, bam, bam, and rightfully so, Harbaugh challenged it. And looking at the replays, you know, aside from the hit, it was an incomplete pass because I think he made a football move, and it was a great momentum swinger because it created a fourth down play instead of a first down. So, and then there was one flag, the one Jacoby Jones's return, which was uncalled for. It was a clean hit there too. I don't know what's up with that. I know, you know, you're a bigger hockey fan than me, but you know, I'm becoming a hockey fan, and I even said in the stands, if you want to see hitting, I guess you have to watch NHL because it's not in the NFL anymore. So apparently you can't lay some wood without getting flagged. But I was glad that Terrence Brooks wasn't flagged. It was a legal hit. I just saw it when he came across that middle of the field. It was like, bam, bam. And there was pundits saying that, you know, posing the question that, was this the best post-Ray Lewis era hit? Because Ray Lewis and Ed Reed used to lay some wood on this defense, man. And Ray's been known for some big hits. And the one that comes to mind was the one with Chad Johnson coming across the middle, and Ray just lit him up. And I'm glad Delaney's okay, or he was okay.
Yeah.
In the game. But it ended up being a huge turning point because the tight end was killing us. And we're going to set the table. I mean, I'm just going to set a little bit teaser far in advance, but 2 weeks from now after the bye, we have to play a big, 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 big elite tight end in Jimmy Graham. Mm-hmm. Tight ends are going to give us fits, and I was talking to my dad a little bit. The Ravens are just vulnerable in that middle of the field, and seeing that Sunday, it's just going to translate. The tight end just gives us a lot of problems, and like I said, I'm glad Delaney's okay, but it was kind of like, that's the price you pay. You might come across the middle. The Ravens said enough is enough, and I'm glad they came out a little bit fired up than usual. I think after the Titans went down, scored 7, I think it was like, okay, well, we better right the ship.
Right, right.
I think it was like, they better right the ship or we're going to be in a big, big, big mess. And I think the Ravens said enough is enough, but I was just proud of the defense. I can't say enough. And staying on the defensive side of the ball real quick, how about Elvis Dumervil, man? He's second in the NFL leading with 10.5 sacks, man. How awesome is that?
I mean, it's great stuff. It's been a crazy season for Dumervil. You know, we've seen him have his ups and downs, but really he's really come into his own. Him and Terrell Suggs, the last few games have really been gelling well together. It's something that we've definitely wanted to see over the last 2 years. But Dumervil, again, you know, great addition to this team 2 seasons ago, and he's really, yeah, definitely coming into his own in a Ravens jersey.
Absolutely, man. He's coming to his own, and you know, great job on defense as a whole. I was really proud of the way the guys adjusted, the way the team in all adjusted around to the way that the game started. But it, like I said, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. We have a motto at my work, you know, start strong, finish stronger. And I wish the Ravens would adopt that, because you're right, you have to start out strong, but if you can just get the job done and just really nail it home, that's how it's done. But I always say too, it goes hand in hand. It's, hey, you might start ugly and nasty, but if the end result is a pretty win, I don't really care. It's just get that W. What matters is we have more points on the scoreboard. They might throw for 300 more passing yards than we do, but as long as we have more points than they do, I don't care. You know, what's done is done, and move on to the next game. And speaking of the points and that, the offense, it was just a frustrating day. Given the line stunk it up, man. I don't know if we have to figure out a different combination, but protecting Joe Flacco, it's getting ridiculous back there. You can't have a Super Bowl MVP winning quarterback back there trying to really get that offense rhythm, because like I've always said time and time again, Joe Flacco is a rhythm quarterback. Any quarterback is, for that matter. Obviously, if you mess up Peyton Manning's timing and all that, it's timing. The routes are supposed to take a certain amount of time. Joe Flacco's looking at his progressions, and when he's constantly running for his life, Brandon, and then he's constantly just getting guys in his face and the pocket's collapsing, it's going to be a really tough day. And it goes hand in hand. I mean, the receivers really couldn't get open. I give credit to the Titans' defense. They were suffocating. But one of the plays, it was a great throw. Again, you found Torrey Smith with a nice throw. And how about Justin Forsett, man? If there's any blessing in disguise with this whole Ray Rice situation, Forsett has found some new life. And, wow, man, a 2-touchdown performance. He was just running his life. He was running lights out, man. Those 2-touchdown runs were incredible. That play call on 3rd and 1 where he took it on the sideline, that was a great play call because he just used his speed and just went right down the sideline. And especially on that next touchdown run, he just went right through the blocks and took off for the end zone. And I'm just very pleased. And you can see how with the running game, Tadafera fumbled and you rarely saw his name called. And again, you know, Pierce with his issues and he might be inactive again because he's just not getting the job done. Forsett's the main clear starter for the foreseeable future for this franchise, and I think he's going to get a hefty contract. I don't know how much, but he's going to get paid. Hopefully it's by us, because I think he's going to be in our backfield for a couple more years.
Yeah, the crazy thing to think about, you know, during the offseason, Forsett was brought in, and it was to train younger guys how right. to work with Kubiak and how to work his system. And after everything that's happened at the beginning of this season, and then Forsett comes out, and he's playing great. I mean, he's really shown what he can do on a football field. And I mean, great performance on Sunday. Really, he's been one of the shining stars of the offense, which is crazy to say because the offensive line has just been terrible. But Forsett brings it every single week, and he's a great addition to this offense. But yeah, let me go back to the offense and Joe Flacco real quick. I remember watching the game early on, and you know the Tennessee Titans they had the ball for a good chunk of the first quarter, and then here comes Joe Flacco on the offensive line. They come out, and then it was a three and out, I believe, and it was It was terrible because I literally was like, I'm watching the game, they go to commercial, and then the offense is off the field. And I'm like, did they do anything? Did anything just happen right now? Because I didn't see them move the ball in any way. And the Titans were running down the field the first half. And the offense, I think they didn't even have like a first down at that point. You know, it was insane that they couldn't even get anything going. It definitely took them a long time to wake up and realize, oh, we're supposed to be playing football today. But this is an ongoing thing with this offense. And the key, like I always say this about the Capitals, you know, on What the Puck, it's the team has to play a full 60-minute game. And the Ravens, they gotta do the same thing. They gotta play a full game. They can't just, you know, they can't take the first quarter off. Yeah, I mean, they did come out with a win this past week, but you gotta play a full game if you want to go down the stretch and you want to get past, you know, the regular season into the playoffs. You can't just, you know, start this game out and be like, oh, you know, three and out, we're fine, no big deal, yada yada yada, who cares? Because not only is that not good because you're not getting down the field and you're not getting points, if your defense is on the field for a majority of the game, your defense is going to get tired pretty quickly, and they're not going to be able to hold that other quarterback or that other offensive line to the standard at the beginning of like they were at the beginning of the game. So it affects both sides of the ball if the offense isn't doing their job correctly. If they're only on the field for 2 minutes, that means guys like Terrell Suggs and Dumervil and those guys are only getting to rest for 2 minutes or so. And that's not the way that you can play a full NFL game. It has to be a full game. Everybody has to do 100%. And the offensive line just is not doing that right now.
It's not, man. And I could agree with you more, my friend. It's 60-minute ball game. Ray Lewis always preached it here. And you got to play the full game. The Ravens are notorious for that. They're always a second-half team. I mean, other than I think the Tampa Bay game as of recent, where they just came out just winging the ball and Flacco threw five touchdowns in 16 minutes. But it was like, other than that fast start, I haven't seen this team start out fast for as long as I can remember. I mean, yeah, they scored on opening drives before, but it wasn't like they got out and was like, you know, they took the ball on defense, you know, because they always defer. You know, they held them to three and out. We go down and score, and then we hold them again, and then we go score a field goal when it's 10-0 or 14-0 if we score again. This team has never started out where we're putting the other team in a 10-0 hole, 14-0 hole to start the game. It's more like 3-0, 7-0, and then we allow them to get a score, and it's always 7-3 or 7-7. And it's always those neck-and-neck games. Other than that, I mean, we've had some sound wins this year. The Panthers, we've had the Bucks. We beat the Steelers by 20. I mean, we've had some sound wins. We've also had one sound loss. But with that being said, this team has to start out fast. But I kind of don't like that way because it's almost like you exert all your energy because the other team's trying to start out fast. And I think the Ravens, what they do, I don't know if this is a game plan, but it's kind of like these games go this way. It's like they start out slow. They start out slow. They let the old team hang around. And then all of a sudden, it's like, bam, they turn it on. It was like, okay, well, where was that in the first quarter? But I'm glad they do it then. It's almost like they save it. They're like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if anybody around here is a big NASCAR fan, but I always equate it to, I mean, I'm not that in-depth, but I always listen to this because I've listened to drivers before. In a big race, because a race is a marathon, they go around a track for 3 hours. They have so many laps. They're not always in the front of the pack. They hang out in the middle, and they wait, they're patient, all of a sudden they strike. And I think that's what the Ravens, it's kind of like that's how they do it. Whether that's their own purpose game plan or not, it's like they see what the offense is going to do or the opposing team's offense is going to do. They defensive scheme that way, and then on offense, it's, okay, let's see how they are. Let's see how much they blitz. And then it's almost like, damn, and then they turn it on. It's like, wow, it creates a win, but I don't know how it happens. But that's just what I equate it. I see the Ravens, what they do is they start slow and they finish fast. But should be finish faster. But besides the point, they get it done with a win. And a huge win at that, at 6-4, Brandon. This division between the Browns beating the Bengals, man, they're pretenders, man. They're not a first place team. How about it, man? Mid November and the Cleveland Browns are in first place by half a game at 6-3. We're 6-4 coming on a bye week. That's that tiebreaker we own is huge. Week two, that's just that week three game is huge because that win will resound all the way to the end of the year, my friend. And how about this? Wasn't it lovely to see, but how about the Steelers? You know, throw in 6 touchdowns apiece in the last 2 games. They dismantled us. And then they go and lay the hugest stinky egg up in the Jets. And thank God Rex Ryan and Mike Vick and company took it to them. And when I was watching that scoreboard, it was 17-0 Jets, man. We were all going crazy in the stands. And I was like, this is what it's about, man. It's a week-to-week league. And the Steelers just showing it that they're vulnerable. I mean, they lost to the Bucs. They lost to the Jets. The Cleveland Browns lost to the Jaguars, you know. We beat the Bucks. It's just it all goes around and around and around. So this team, this week, and these teams are week to week. No matter who's, no one's safe. And with this division, everybody calm down. You know, we're 6-4 heading into a bye week, but we're half a game out of first place pending this action's weekend. You know, whatever happens this weekend, we're going to look into these matchups and say, okay, because we have a lot of similar matchups coming. I mean, I know a couple coming up. The Steelers get the Saints. The Browns play them as well. The Browns play the Bengals. It's all going to work out, man. I think coming, you know, in the next weeks, we're going to see this team take form. And I think right now the Ravens are going to find their stride. And speaking of that, you know how, Brandon, you know how we play best ball in November, December, right?
Right.
I'm going to break this down. This was via from the Ravens program on Sunday. Now, these numbers are going to be skewed a bit because this was printed before the game. Just throwing these numbers out there, I just want to show you some nice Ravens numbers. And if anybody hasn't really thought about these are just something to think about, like, to be proud of, too. And to think that, hey, we play our best ball towards the end of the year. It said, note of the week, November success. And I'm reading from the Ravens program on Sunday. The Ravens are 20-8. In the month of November, under head coach John Harbaugh. Again, all these numbers are taken from 08 on. This is John Harbaugh era, okay? And this is since we've had a losing season. So since then, we haven't, so keep that in mind as well. Under head coach John Harbaugh, ranking the NFL's second best mark, the Ravens have won an impressive 9 straight games at home in November. Now it's 10 straight because we just won. And we play the last home game in November, the last day of the month on the 30th against the Chargers, pending that. And 11-1, it's the last 12 games, November games in MATV. Now that mark is 12-1. Now keep in mind these numbers are skewed now. Now the Saints lost this past weekend and we won, so these numbers can be you. But right now, since 2008 November, the winning percentage, the Saints are in first in the NFL with 19-5. Now they're 19-6. That was before that loss, it was a 792 winning percentage. The Ravens were number 2 at 20-8 with a 714 winning percentage. The Cowboys are number 3 at 18-8. Patriots at 16-8, and the Colts at 17-9. So we're among the top 5, and not even that, but we are in the top 3 of NFL franchises in the last 6 and 7 years of November wins and losses. That says something about this team. And Harbaugh said that kind of teasing that in the postgame. He goes, hey, we're heating up. It's November and December. He knows that too, and we all know that too. We play our best ball at the end of the year, and I've always said this, and we've had this discussion in the pending days since the win on Sunday. The best teams that actually go on the playoff run are the hottest teams. Not they don't get hot and start the season 10-0. They start the November and December and they have a 6-1 record in the months of November and December where they get hot. The Giants won the Super Bowl that way. They won like 4 straight and won the Super Bowl. We won in year 2000. We won 7 straight at the end of the year after starting 5-4, which we just were, and we won Super Bowl 35. Packers did it. They won 3 straight at the end of the year, ended up being the wild card, and won the Super Bowl against the Steelers. It happens. The right teams got hot at the right time. And speaking of that, Brandon, I'm going to break down a couple other things, too.
Because go for it, man.
Oh, man, dude, I'm fired up about this one. I did not know about this one. When I read this, I kind of was like, I put the program down. I was like, wow, as bad as we complain about our defense, I know our secondary is a little suspect. Hopefully with the patchwork of Levine and Gore, we'll be all right. But here's the thing. Ready for it?
All right, let's hear it.
I'm gonna give you a trivia question. You remember how dominant the Ravens run defense was at the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
I wanna break it down for you. Do you recall the Ravens how many games their winning streak was, or how many consecutive games that they went through this past decade without allowing a 100-yard rusher?
Oh man,
I
have no idea.
Okay, this is fun. It's actually 39. From 2006 to 2009, the Ravens went 39 straight games without a 100-yard rusher. And 2013 was the last 100-yard rusher, which was Eddie Lacy. Now, with that being said, right now it's 20, because I don't think Bishop – I have to look at the stats. Bishop's a game, I don't think, gained 100. Before the Tennessee Titans game at home this past Sunday, longest current streaks games without allowing a 100-yard rusher, the Ravens are number one on the list with 19 straight games. Cardinals are at 18, and Broncos are at 10. That is impressive, my friend. Mm-hmm. As bad as it gets, as bad as Mitchell Flagg may throw five picks in a game, as bad as we might give up six touchdowns, our run defense is top-notch. No one's running the ball at us. Remember, I get fired up about this. Remember back in the glory days, man, Ray Lewis always preaching, they're not running the ball on us. They're not. We've always preached that. They are not running the ball. And when we make the offenses one-dimensional, where if they can't run and we shut down the run, we know they're going to pass. Here we come. It was like pick central. We knew Ed Reed was going to get a couple picks. We knew Ray Lewis was going to tip some passes. It just, the defense can relax better. And I think that with that rebuilt secondary in the second half of the season, I think it's going to build well, man. So I'm very proud of our Ravens for doing that, man. And just, it shows you, man, with Nada up there and Brandon Williams and, you know, Chris Canty, Terrell Suggs, it all starts up there. And Elvis Dumervil and company and C.J. Mosley stopping the run. He's been great as a rookie. I'm just really excited to see if the Ravens can build on that. So, again, you know, we might have been 5-4. We just now 6-4 moving into the bye week. Might be shaky ground, but, guys, Brandon, I just want to just show you guys that there's a lot of things to be proud of. And, yes, there might be dark days ahead where we might be having a losing streak and we might suck for a while. It might hurt our feelings a bit, but – these are numbers to hold on to and say, you know what, at the end of the day, I'm proud of my franchise. I'm proud to be a Baltimore Ravens fan. I'm proud of this organization, win or lose, because at the end of the day, they win. And from day one, it's just been a proven winner. And just Flacco just wins games. Harbaugh coaches them up. I love Harbs, man. And I wanted to just share some experiences at the game, if I may. You know, this past weekend, obviously, you know, we're recording today, so happy Veterans Day to all. I want to give a shout-out to my boy Dave Sheeler. He's a Marine. It's just I can't say enough of these guys, man. I've always told Dave I couldn't do what you do, man. As much as I get pumped and I would love to try to serve my country, I know deep down, and I'm not that type built for it. It's just, like I said, my heart goes out to everybody, men and women across the world and at home and abroad, man.
Yeah, it takes a special person to do what they do.
It does, man. I got emotional on Sunday, and I was charged up. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm going to get some of their garb. I saw some of the Ravens sweatshirts, which was awesome. I love their military hats. I love that salute to service feel, man. It's awesome. But I just wanted to share at the game.
Let me ask you something real quick. Was there a flyover during the national anthem on Sunday?
There was.
Because I think after that, I was outside waiting for the game to start, and I actually had a flyover over my house coming back from the stadium.
That was great. I'm glad you got to experience that. Well, they're a little bit late. It was kind of funny because I don't know if you saw the pictures I posted on Facebook. They had the big American flag over the field, and just the anthem just gives me chills just talking about, man. I just love singing along with the anthem and the way we do it in Baltimore with the rockets, and when they said bombs bursting and boom, 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 it just, man, I get fired up. But it was just great because it was funny because I told my buddy Rich, who went to the game with me, he was like, "Dead the home of the brave." And it was like, we're all cheering. I was like, this would have been a perfect day for flyover. It's Veterans Day, it's blah, 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 all the soldiers on the field. And then it was kind of funny. Then they showed them on the screen late, and two bombers flew over stadium, and it was a roar. It was great. And then the halftime show, I got video of it too, and I'll post that on my Twitter feed as well, maybe the call page as well, so you guys can take a look. They showed a Marine silent drill, and I think I was like applauding. I was like, this is probably one of the best halftime shows I've ever seen. If you ever have a chance to see that, Brandon, YouTube it, or I'm sure it's out there somewhere. To see the Marines do their silent drill, that was impressive. It made me proud, and we know the Ravens are warriors on the field, but the true warriors are out there fighting our own wars and keeping our freedom safe, man. And I just say this Veterans Day, I'm proud to be an American, and you know, just want to shout out to everybody out there, man. It means a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. And the big thing about Veterans Day as well, I mean, these guys and girls that are part of the military, they fight for the freedom to be able to say what you want to say. And without the military, you know, you and I would not have the freedom to do a podcast and talk about team. And if we wanted to get political, guess what? We can. Because we have that freedom of speech, and we can, as long as you're, you know, you're being respectful about what you're saying, that's the most important thing. Is that freedom of speech is one of the foundations of this country, and it's a responsibility to say something smart, not just to scream as loud as you can to get your point across. But because of the military, we have the freedom here to do a podcast, to criticize a sports team, or to criticize whatever's going on in the world, and that's because the military. Fights for that freedom that we're allowed to say what we feel should be said. So that's another important thing about Veterans Day is that we honor the people that not only put in that hard work, but that they're doing a service for us by keeping us all free, and every part of our life is free. You know, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Without them, that wouldn't be possible. So absolutely, happy Veterans Day to all those guys and girls out there. So that's a huge part. Real quick, going back to the game, we talked about Terrence Brooks. We talked about Danny Goyer getting his interception, which I think is only the second interception from the secondary this year. Which
it's been very odd, man. Yeah,
very crazy odd. That we're into week 10, and that's only the second interception they got. But way to go for Danny, man. Way to make a splash your first game back in a Ravens uniform. Definitely people know his name, and maybe I might not be pronouncing it correctly, but at least people took a note of him and welcomed him back to the team. But let's also talk about Steve Smith laying the smackdown like the Rock on the Tennessee Titans, body slamming one of their players, and he got flagged for it. But I liked what Steve Smith said after the game. You know, he said, "I think you got to look at the strength and conditioning coach down there, because a 194-pound guy body slams one of their linebackers. I think he needs to get his weight up."
It's classic Steve Smith, man. I told you I love this guy for a reason, and I'm glad he's a Baltimore Raven towards the end of Taylor's career. He just fits that tough as nails Ravens attitude and play like a Raven. I know lately that's been not the mantra around here, because, you know, with whatever's been going with these losses, I know some of them I'll be calling them out and have been playing a little soft, but it's great to get back to Ravens football, man. And Steve Smith, that was great to see, man. And I know, you know, setting an example for the guys and, you know, getting flagged for it, I know some call for it, but at least it didn't really cost us. And speaking of that, in transition to the penalties, the Ravens only had 5 for 40 yards, so I know they had a lot of penalties in Pittsburgh, and I think that game just got away. It was a very frustrating game. It was a divisional game. The rivalry on Sunday night, I think, you know, with Suggs and everything, it was getting chippy. I think the game was really getting to us and getting out of hand, and it really pissed us off, because the way the game started and the way we were getting after Ben and then how that game transitioned, I think it was kind of like the Ravens were like, all right, well, we mean business, and we're going to smack you guys down, and they did it, man. I'm impressed. The way the game started, it wasn't good, but here's the thing. They held them scoreless after that. 21 unanswered points, 21-7, and I'm going to cover this at the end of the game. You noticed how Harbaugh chose to kneel it at the goal line?
Yeah.
And this was funny, because me and my dad had this discussion on the Sunday night game, where obviously the Packers and Aaron Rodgers just put on a showcase and blew the doors off the Chicago Bears. Aaron Rodgers had 6 touchdown passes in the first half, and he went out in the third quarter, and he was still trying to get number 7. They weren't done. And it was something the head coach Mike McCarthy said in transition to what I mean about the kneeling at the goal line. I remember a few weeks back on our shows this year, we talked about that. We talked about the whole running the score up and, hey, if the defense can't stop them, keep scoring. Our offense's job is to score. And what Coach Mike McCarthy said of the Green Bay Packers, he said, paraphrasing here, he said, we're going to punch him in the throat. He's going to come out. It was a divisional game. They were up, 42-0 at halftime. He said, no, we're going to get him. And then we went right back at it again and tried to score another touchdown. And it was like, and I told my dad's like, that's the way all offenses are. Belichick's offense is like that. And the Green Bay Packers are like that. These high-powered offenses, you know. And we had a laugh, Brock Osweiler, the backup of Peyton. Peyton was up 41-10 in the third quarter, and they sent Peyton Manning back out there. The kid was crusty. He couldn't get a snap in, man. So it was like, we always talk about that running up the score. And it was kind of like one of those, hey, that was awesome. I applaud Harbaugh for doing that. It kind of goes against what I believe, you know, with the whole running up the score. But I thought it was called for, man. I mean, the game of there was one on the hand. It seemed the Tennessee Titans there, they had 2 timeouts. They could have been ignorant and said, you know what, you're going to need it. Well, we're going to call a timeout. but it was right there. It was a 2-touchdown game. They weren't really going to do anything. I mean, if they're, we would have kicked a field goal anyway, so it would have been a 3-score game. So the game would have been virtually over anyway. Yeah, I mean, I know fantasy versus reality. I was upset because that was that long toss that I ran by Justin Forsett, and I had him in fantasy this week. So he could have been his third touchdown, and I rocked it with beast mode this week because Marshawn Lynch had 4. And I had 4-7 on the same team with another 2. He could have 3, and he was tripped up at the 1. But I really thought that was great. Harbaugh saying, you know what, you know, you guys, you know, we got you guys. We beat you down. It's the end of the game. And even kudos to Tyson for not using their 2 timeouts and the 2-minute warning there. They could have done it. And it was great because everybody was like, why is he kneeling? Why can't he run? I'm like, no, he's kneeling the ball. And the game's over. And it was great to see, man. And what a great way to go into a bye week.
Yeah, absolutely. And ending with that point, let's talk about what John Harbaugh said afterwards. You know, in the locker room, he kind of gave a little speech to the guys, and he asked CBS not to play this, but they did it anyway. And Harbaugh brings up the fact, he's like, hey, look, we lost to the Steelers, and now look at where they're at now. They're getting their asses kicked. Yes. Apparently, this is a big controversy, but I don't. It's not like he said, like, oh, look at the Steelers, a bunch of pussies. They're not doing anything. Like, he said,
yeah.
He said the Steelers are losing right now. They're getting their asses kicked, which they were. And the Ravens last week got their asses kicked by the Steelers. I mean, he's putting everything out there that is absolutely true. I don't know how this is controversial. And if people are saying, like, you know, oh, he's talking about the Steelers again, that's a huge rivalry, the Ravens and the Steelers. That's why they were in prime time for both games this year.
Right.
I see nothing wrong with what Harbaugh said. If this is supposed to be controversial, how? I'm not really sure. He didn't say anything bad. He didn't say anything wrong. He said everything that actually happened. And he used it as a way to get these guys motivated for the rest of the year. I see nothing wrong with it.
I tell it this way. Sissifying of our culture and really like the whole he hurt my feelings thing. You know what? The truth hurts. I applaud Harbaugh for speaking that. I love it because, that's why I love Steve Smith. That's why I love Harbs. Harbs tells you how it is, and I love it. You know when he's cranky up on the podium. You know when he's real. He gets there, and you know this one's stunk. You know he was pissed, along with the rest of the team and along with Ravens Nation. You know after that loss, they were like, all right, we have to take a longer look in the mirror. That was uncalled for. And especially how we were up 7-0 again. I keep bringing this back up. We were up 7-0, sack Ben 3 straight times. The game was pretty much looking like we were going to just throttle them the way we wanted to and have our way, and it was just a total nightmare. And I think that's the turning point in the season. I think right now that Steelers loss was the best thing to happen to the team, and keep that in mind going towards our shows through the end of the year. I think that sets the tone, especially now Harbaugh. And I actually listened to the whole post-game, like in the locker room. It was very festive. Harbaugh was telling them how much time they're getting off. It was very upbeat. It was very loose. I mean, literally, I could give Harbs a hug. I love this guy. And I told my buddy sitting there at the end of the stadium when I saw it, I was just like, I love Harbs, man. You know, after seeing that post game, we were listening to it in the car, and I just said, I wish I could give that guy a high five, man. I just love him. He's a great ball coach, and I'm glad he's on our team. I'm glad we hired him. And he's right at it. Whether he's throwing a hornet's nest, I don't care. Whether people get mad, I don't care. You're right, Brandon. It's fact he's speaking, and it's truth, because you know what they did. And hey, if they were among, and here's the problem I have, media. They're boasting the Steelers up on a pedestal on Monday morning after the Steelers win against us. Are they AFC? Are the Steelers the AFC's among their elite? I'm like, get out of here. And I told my buddy, Stephen A. Smith of ESPN said no. And here's why he said no following that win. Because he said their defense is suspect and they're not going to hold up against Tom Brady and the Patriots, and Peyton Manning and Coles are not going to be able to stop them. Or the Peyton Manning and the Broncos, as I said. Coles, Broncos, same thing. They're a horse, right? but with that being said, and look what happened. You know, you let Mike Vick and the Jets beat you. I mean, really? I mean, like I said, it's great to see them lose, but it's just like, again, you know, they're pretenders. The Bengals are pretenders. It's going to come down to us and Cleveland. I hate to say it, but, I mean, because you figure Pittsburgh plays the Saints. I mean, we play the Saints too. I mean, it's going to happen, but the Steelers ain't nothing. We hurt them so bad, and the way we put them on the injuries, I mean, we've hurt them such to a point to where they came out of that game more injuries than us, even though they won. They won the battle, but I think we won the war there because – we made a statement, said, hey, you might have beaten us, but good luck the rest of the year, because you're going to need it, because we're going to be the better team. And I think right now it's going to come down to it is, again, looking at big picture, I know we go week to week here, but big picture, week 17 at home against Cleveland Browns, that's going to be a playoff game. That's going to be basically winner take all, takes the AFC North crown at home here. They always say the old Cleveland Browns versus the new Cleveland Browns. I think that's going to be that's going to be the game of the year, man. I mean, we always end up playing the Bengals on the road in Cincinnati for the last 3 years. Right now, having this home game at home, and we've already beaten them on the road in their house, and we own that tiebreaker, I'm telling you. I mark my words from today. We will be tied by records, and we're going to have to play them. The winner of that game will win the AFC North. Mark it. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah, absolutely it is. So, ending up the show this week, of course, there's no game this weekend. This is our bye week coming in week 11, which I think is a little bit late for the Ravens. But why do you think it is so important to get the bye week at this point, given the fact that there's six games left and there's some pretty big competition there? Like you said, you know, we're ending up with the Browns on December 28th. To me, I think this bye week is important because guys get to rest up. And like you said, December is when the Ravens play their best football. So if they can enter the end of November into December with a few well-rested guys, I think it's good that they can recharge their batteries and get ready for this the last 6 weeks of the season. So what's your feeling on the bye week coming right now? Why is it so important to be to rest up this week?
It's so important because, like I said, the stretch run. The Ravens play their best ball in November, December, and specifically for our team, it comes great because guys need to rest. We and Harbaugh touched on this in the post-game locker room speech and addressing the team. They're going to buy relatively healthy. Yeah, we know we have Jimmy Smith out for the rest of the year, but no one's really seriously banged up. We never came out of these games with a lot of serious injuries. We don't have somebody, you know, scratched for the next 2 or 3 weeks. We don't have anybody nursing a sprain, anything, not that I know of, not that I've seen an injury report. Right now, it's time for rejuvenation, and it's time for these guys to take a break, but then come back, refocus, and get charged up for a primetime game on a Monday Night Football game. Obviously, we know Ray Lewis is going to be there covered, I think, and we're going back to the site where we won Super Bowl 47. So I think right now, as it stands, this can come at a perfect time. It's very exciting, and especially with the teams that had byes in week four, like the Bengals did. They play three games, then they get a bye week. Now they got to play all those games in a row. Mm-hmm. They don't get a break at all. And I think that what's hurting them now, because Giovanni Bernard's out for them, A.J. Green's been banged up, and they can't rest. It's, oh, well, we got to just push through it, and it's showing. And with the Steelers, same thing. They've already had their bye, and it's showing. So I think going into it, I think it's just going to bode well for us being at late. The buys always change year to year, and everybody asks me, how is that calculated? It's just calculated by the league. They put out the scheduling, and they determine which teams have buys at what junctures in the season. We've had a few ones in there where we've had them in week 4, 5, or 6, but we've also had them where ours are 8, 9, and 10, and I like it right around there because, like I said, we are not bye week after those games. We're 6-4 after the bye. We're great coming off a bye, so I feel that we could be 7-4. Going into that Monday night matchup and coming out of it, and all steam ahead, man. So I think it comes at a perfect time for us to get the rest. The holidays are coming up. It just gives the chance to rejuvenate. And I think the Ravens are going to be more focused. A lot of people are like, well, if they take a break and, you know, they need to play their most football now, why wouldn't they want to take it in October and they get charged up and play all through November, December? But no, man. They just started the month with a great win. You know, you don't want them to, you know, lose hope with that. I mean, they started the month bad, but then they just ended the second week in that, but the great win. They're going to, like I said, they come a bye. They got the Saints. We have two important games in November. We got the Saints on the road in New Orleans on a Monday night football game. And we come home against the San Diego Chargers to cap off and head into Christmas month in December. So I think when it's all said and done, I think the Ravens are going to be 3-1 in this. Look, taking a look at the picture, I think it bodes well for us because of our opponents. We go on the road and then in a familiar place, and we've always been able to handle the Saints and, you know, Drew Brees, and they come home against the Chargers, and then we have a bye this week. I'm excited, man. And it was like we had that many bye week heading into the Thursday night game when we beat the Steelers, and then we went on the road and beat the Cleveland Browns. We had that mini bye because it was a 10-day rest instead of 14 days. So, and we went in there and handled business. So, and we went on the road after that. You know, we played on Thursday night. We played two games of 4 days, and then we went on the road after a 10-day rest, and we went toe-to-toe with the Cleveland Browns and ended up with a win. It was a great win. And right now it resounds throughout the AFC North. But for that win, we'd be in deep doo doo. Mm-hmm. And again, guys, you know, we're sitting a half a game out of first place pending action this weekend. You know, and when I say half a game, is because we end the tiebreaker over Cleveland. So obviously, we're right there. If we already had our bye, we would have been right there neck and neck. So again, it's going to be an exciting month of November to watch going into December. But I think it just bodes well. You know, it bodes well for teams with key injuries that need to rest. But with us relatively healthy, that means, hey, we just get to relax and be that much more healthier going into the stretch run for the playoff run.
Yeah, and I think this is also a good time, too, because we do have a couple new players coming in that they look good up against Tennessee, but this gives them a little extra time to learn the system even more than they already did before the Tennessee game. And like you said, a lot of people, you know, like the Bengals, they had to do it in week four, and they have a long stretch to go till the end of the season. I remember a couple of years ago, it was I think the Ravens were up against Houston. And there was a hurricane that came in and hit Houston,
yes.
And they had to have a bye week, I think, in like the second or third week of the season. Mm-hmm. And I think that kind of screwed up with the rest of the season because they weren't ready for that bye week. But, this time around, I think getting the majority of games out of the way first and then being able to rest for a little bit and then get into the home stretch, really focused on what you got to do and everything, is really going to be a great thing for these Ravens. And even though it sucks for us not being able to watch football or Ravens football on Sunday still.
For the next two Sundays.
Yeah, the next two Sundays. So they even have a bye week, and they have an extra long bye week because then they don't have to play until Monday night. So really, really interested to see what happens. And another good thing, we'll talk about this next week, but the Ravens already went up against the Saints once this season, given it was preseason and it wasn't a lot of the starters, but still, you know, went up against the Saints already once this season. We'll talk about that next week. But anyway, did we miss anything in this show?
Brandon, I wouldn't say not a chance on this one, man. We got it covered.
All right, very cool. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back, wrap up the show. But here is a word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
Hey there, Baltimore Ravens fans. If you're like me, you love the Ravens, but you also are a huge supporter of the Washington Capitals. If you're a football fan or a hockey fan, if you want to get ready for the Winter Classic this year, check out my other podcast, What the Puck. It is available for free on iTunes, Stitcher, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, and TuneIn Radio. Myself and Coach Dan Hayden, we discuss the Washington Capitals, the Hershey Bears, and the South Carolina Stingrays weekly, going over games, stats, and more. So check it out, The Call and What the Puck, both available for free on iTunes, Stitcher, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, and TuneIn Radio. All right, everybody, this is The Call. Thank you for listening to us this week. It's been a fun season so far. If you want to continue the conversation, if you want to talk to Josh or I about Baltimore Ravens football, make sure you tweet to us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. And Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
You can always tweet to me at ItalianKQ52, man.
All right, very cool stuff. Of course, if you want more information about this show, go to BrandoCash.com. You'll get information about this show and all the other stuff we do at Brando Cash Entertainment. Also, go like us on Facebook, Facebook.com/BrandoCash and Facebook.com/TheCallPodcast. You'll get information about this show whenever a new show is to come out. We are available completely for free. You guys know this, and there's many ways you can listen to the show. You can listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, or TuneIn Radio. It's all for free. You guys can download, stream, and if you want to listen to old archive shows, maybe the Super Bowl episode, go to thecall.brandocash.com. Always fun to listen to those old shows and what we had to say back then. So what we are asking you guys, since the show is free, and you know this already, please tell people about the show, okay? We've gotten great numbers this season. We want to continue to grow even bigger. Share the show with your friends, all right? So let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit, anywhere you are social on the net. Let people know, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan, I listen to The Call, and you should too. So that is pretty much it for The Call this week. Again, happy Veterans Day to everyone out there. Thank you for all your service. We couldn't do this without you guys. Thank you so much. But Josh, even though it's a bye week, I don't know how you're going to take the show out. I'm interested to see what you say, but take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thanks, man. And it's always interesting on a bye week because, you know, we get to rest and rejuvenate and watch some football and watch the other teams great. But again, with that being said, it was a great win for the Ravens. I'm so proud of this team, 6-4, a half a game out of first place in this crazy AFC North. This division is probably one of the best this year to watch. It's very exciting. But yeah, with that being said, guys, you know, enjoy the bye week. It should be a great Sunday, whatever we decide to do with new football. I'm definitely going to be playing in front of TV, watching football all day long. Had fired up and, you know, getting ready for my own fantasy football run. And I just really can't wait to see that. And, man, just take it easy, guys. And we appreciate everybody listening. And again, happy Veterans Day to all men and women who serve us around the world and those who have served. Greatly appreciate our hearts and go out to you all. And really rest up, enjoy the bye week. So, really, we can't really fly high this bye week, can we? But we're going to really lay low, and we're going to get ready to fly high coming November, December for some good Ravens football. And we can't get ready because rest up, because we're going to get ready, and this is how we're going to bring it out. We're going to fly high on Monday night in 2 weeks. How's that sound?
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.